إن لم تكونوا مثلهم إن التشبه بالكرام فلاح. وقاربوا فتشبهوا إن لم تكونوا مثله. وكما ينسب للإمام الشافعي رحمه الله أنه قال أحب الصالحين ولست منهم. يحبهم، يحاول أن يكون مثل الصالحين، يحاول أن يكون من الصالحين. إذن فسددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا، اعلموا أن وراء الحجاب جنة عرضها السماوات والأرض. أبشر بالجنة ما دمت في طريق الطاعة، واستعينوا بالغدوة والرحمة، وزع الجهد على المسافة. ثم تذكر أن هؤلاء أصحاب الجري المسافات الطويلة في آخر 200 متر من السباق كيف يصنعون؟ يعطي آخر نفس عنده. إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم، إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. أهم شيء الختام، أهم شيء الختام. إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. فالرجل قد تراه أثناء السباق تقول هذا هو الذي سيفوز، لكن لا، إنما الأعمال بالخواتيم. قال ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. ليست المشكلة أن تعيش مسلما، المشكلة أن تموت مسلما. فما أكثر الذين يعيشون مسلمين ثم يموتون غير مسلمين. ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. فالسعيد هو من ختم له بالإسلام. أسأل الله عز وجل أن يختم لي ولكم بالصالحات، وأن يجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها، وأن يجعل أسعد أيامنا يوم نلقى الله عز وجل. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. فيكم بارك، فيكم بارك.
إخوان الشيخ ولان to explain the rest of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. So the beginning of the hadith was, verily this religion is easy, and no one makes things difficult in the religion except that it will overtake him. So therefore saddidu wa qaribu. He wanted to explain what does this mean, and he asked the question, how do we get out of these problems of going overboard? He said what we have to do is going to be explained in these parts of the hadith. Now what a person has to do is, a person has to make it his business to get as close to the haq as possible. That's the meaning of saddidu. At tasdeed in the language, and this word saddidu comes from that, wa qaribu. At tasdeed, it means like if you're going to shoot at something, or you're going to shoot the target, you do your best to aim to hit the target. That's what it means. Do your best to hit while you're aiming. So the important thing here and the message here is to try to do your best to hit the target. That's what saddidu. Saddidu wa qaribu means try your best to hit the target. And even if you don't hit the target, you made an effort to try. You didn't make an effort to be off of the target. وَقَارِبُ. So he say, what does it mean to get close? فَسَدِّدُ وَقَارِبُ. From the word getting close. So سَدِّدُ means try to hit the target as you aim. وَقَارِبُ. Get close. Get close to who? Try to be close to the people of knowledge. Try to be close as you can to the truth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, and for that reason we made you an ummah that is in the middle, and we made you witnesses over the people, and we made the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam a witness over you. Sheikh said, ikhwan, that this is a tremendous ayat of the Quran, because some people, in understanding being in the middle, being balanced, some people understand being in the middle means not to get involved and not to do anything, not to order with the ma'ruf and not to prevent the munkar, not to talk, not to say anything. That's some people's concept of being in the middle. He went on to say, look at what other people do and showing the opposite. The people accuse the ulama, He went on to say, in the example that we gave before of those people of the Khawarij, the man who said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Be just." The other man, he said, "What? You didn't want Allah's pleasure in this distribution." The Shaykh said, "You see that man back there, he was the leader of the Khawarij, and he accused the leader of the ulama, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He said, "And right now, today, the leaders of the Khawarij today, they accuse the leaders of the ulama. They accuse the ulama right now. They accuse the ulama of being the tails of the oppressors. They accuse the intention of the ulama." Sheikh went on to say, this is clearly astray. He wanted to give us a theory in mathematics. A theory in physics. In physics. He said he went on to give us a theory in physics. And the theory says every action is going to bring back a reaction. And that reaction that's going to come back is going to be equal to the initial and original action in its power and its strength and in its direction. So if you like throw something there, it's going to come back the way you threw it, directly from the way that it was thrown. So this is the idea of physics that the Sheikh went on to say. And then the Sheikh, he went on to elaborate more on the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after that, what? Fasaddidu wa qaribu wa bshiru. Be happy, glad tidings, the bushra. He said, what does this mean? It means for you to believe that behind all of this is paradise. Behind all of these actions is a reward. To believe. It's unseen, but you have to believe. That's why Allah said, those people who believe in the unseen, and they establish the salah, and from what we provided them with, they spend out of it. It's a part of the characteristics of the Muslim to believe in what he doesn't see. So look, Saddidu, I want to give you this example. I want to explain to you this, so pay attention. He said, we all are trying in the Ummah, in the Muslims, we are all trying to fast together in Ramadan. We all want to begin the fast together, and we want to end the fast together, and we want to make the Eid Salat together. This is the goal and the objective of everything. So how do we understand this Sadad, and how do we understand this word for Saddidu? The Shaykh went on to say, if we can't all fast together, some people over there, they see that you should fast that time, some people over there, they see that you should fast at this time. The Shaykh said, what we should do is, when we see the people are all divided like that, we do our best to get as close to what we consider like in our area. And we fast with the people in our area. As opposed to this one fasting by himself. When you see that everyone is different, we can't all fast together. He fasts by himself. He fasts by himself. He fasts by himself. So we become an ummah. We're an ummah now. And then we all split up into individuals fasting, doing their own thing. Is that better, or is it better for us to be a big ummah? And then when we can't fast with everyone else, we fast with ourselves. We fast with the people in our locale. The Sheikh went on to say, so my advice to you brothers, because this may come to me, he said, I'm going to make the isti'jal of this. He expected maybe this is going to come in the questions. He said, but I'm going to tell you now as an example. This is, when it relates to the fasting, this is the application of this hadith that we're talking about. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. How do you practice it? Practically. How do you practice it? In this way, when it's time to fast. It's better for you to fast amongst yourselves with the closest center than it is for him to fast and we fast as individuals. Even if some people are wrong in the way that they've established when we should fast or when we should break our fast, فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا. What you people do is do your best to be with a group that is the closest to what is right. The Sheikh went on to say, what we find in actuality is that some of the people in our area, they're going to be fasting on Mondays, breaking it on Tuesday, other fasts on that day, this many on this day, that. So what do we see when we, what do? We do it. Do we just say, "Man, I'm not fasting at all. Let's just not fast at all." He said, "No." He said, "What you do is you practice this hadith and you practice the statement of Allah Ta'ala, fear Allah to the best of your ability. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope. If the scholar makes ijtihad and he is right, he'll get two rewards. If he's wrong, he'll get one reward. If all of the Muslims can fast at the same time, then this is beautiful. And if not, then we do what we can do. If all of the Muslims in the two Americas, South America and North America, where we live, if all of the Muslims in these two continents can fast together, this is beautiful. But if they can't, we do the best we can. If all of the Muslims in every state in America can fast together, then that's beautiful. This is good. But if not, then we do the best we can. If all of the Muslims in a particular state, in a city, if all of the Muslims in a particular city can fast together, then that's what they can do. That's what they do. Then this is a good thing. If all of the Muslims in a particular neighborhood can fast together, then that's what they do. This is the meaning of waqaribu. Come close. Do whatever you can to get close to the goal. Don't be like the people who say, either everything is black, it's no good, it's black, he's pessimistic, or the other person who says everything is white, meaning what? Going overboard this way or that way. Don't be like those people. So that's the meaning of saddidu wa qaribu. Try your best to hit the goal, or try your best to get close to the haq. And then the Prophet went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, wabshiru, and give the glad tidings. The Shaykh, he went on to say that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the most beloved action to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is the thing that is done consistently, even though it may be a little bit. The thing that is done consistently, even though it's done a little bit. He said, what I like to do in explaining this hadith is, I would like to give you an example. I would like to give you an example of the two people. One person who is the 100-yard sprinter. He run real fast, 100 yards, 100 meters. Or the marathon man who's going to run a marathon of 5,000 meters or 10,000 meters. He said, when the judge takes his gun and he shoots the gun so that the people can start, you look at the man when he starts and you say, by the way he's running, oh, that guy is going real slow. He's never going to finish the race. The Sheikh said, but what he's doing is, he is distributing his energy and his power relative to the distance that he has to run. He wants to save and to preserve his ability and his energy. He's not like the sprinter who is, it is his intent to have a burst of speed to ride to his goal and designated goal as quick as possible. He said, this is the example. It's the example of this hadith. That you start off at the beginning of the day, and then you take it easy. And then at the middle of the day, you start again, and then you take it easy for some rest. And then at the end of the day, you start again, and then you take it easy. If you want to go and you want to arrive quickly, then take it easy. The Sheikh went on to say, in every culture, every place, people have this statement. When he said, the statement is, if you take it easy when you're going, you'll arrive quickly. If you take it easy while you're traveling, you're going to arrive quickly. He said, everyone has that. Look at the driver. He gave an example of a guy. He said, look, I want to get there quickly. So the guy get in the car and he put his foot to the pedal to the metal and just went real fast. The passenger said, hey, where you going? He said, I thought you wanted to get there quickly. He said, I meant take it easy to get there quickly. So the Sheikh said that the person, what he has to do is, he has to distribute all of us, our powers and abilities. We have to distribute our effort and make it relative to the distance that we have to try to reach. So the one who goes overboard in his affairs, he doesn't do anything except destroy himself. So the words that the Prophet used in this hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, Al-Ghudwa wa-Rawha, and the word Ad-Dalja or Ad-Dulja. The Sheikh said that the Ghudwa, what it means is when the Prophet ﷺ said, and seek some assistance in these three things. He said that the Ghudwa is when you leave early in the Nahar, early in the morning. And Ar-Rawha is when you leave in the last part of the daytime. And the Dulja is the last part of the night. So what the Prophet is telling us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is when you travel early, travel, then take it easy. And then at the last part, travel early in the morning, take it easy, get some rest. And then resume your trip at the last part of the daytime and then take some rest. Then resume your trip at the last part of the night and then take a rest. From this hadith, the scholars of Al-Islam have extracted another benefit. And that benefit is that these are the three best times for you when you travel. That you travel right at the early part of the day after Fajr. Or you travel at the end of the Nahar or the daytime. Or that you travel in the last part of the night. That's from the understanding of the ulama of Al-Islam. So anyway, ikhwan, the meaning of this hadith is that what you should do is you should take it easy so that you can arrive to your intended destination. And so that you can arrive with peace. That's the meaning of Al-Ghudwa and Al-Rawha. And remember the hadith that the Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, verily, the most beloved actions to Allah Ta'ala are those actions that you do consistently, even if they are only a little bit. The actions that you do that are a little bit, but you do it consistently, they are better than the actions that you do. You do a lot, but you don't do it consistently. So what you do consistently, even if it's a little bit, is better than the actions that you do that are a lot, but you are not consistent about that. So therefore, I advise all of you to take this nasiha, this advice that I'm giving you, and to be on the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to love them and to be with them and to be in support of them. For verily the person will be with the one that he loves in the day of judgment. And then he said a line of poetry in which he said, and a person who resembles a people, he is from those people. And he went on to say the statement of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala to prove this point of Saddidu wa qaribu. Al-Imam al-Shafi said in his line of poetry, rahimahullah ta'ala, we love the salihin, we love the righteous people, even though we don't consider ourselves from them. The Shaykh went on to say, ikhwan, behind the hijab there is the Jannah. So therefore, make the ghadwa and make the roha when you go out early in the day. When you go out, do what you have to do, take your rest at the appropriate times, and remember the example of the marathon man. Remember the example of the marathon man. And another point concerning the marathon man is this, and this is worthy of reflecting upon. When the marathon man is running and he's going through the race, don't you notice that when he almost gets to the finish line, what does he do? At that time, the marathon man, he starts to really, really, really put some gusto to his situation. He starts to really, really try to run hard with the rest of what he has. So what does that show us? It shows us the hadith. Verily, the actions will be judged based on what you die on. So as you're in the race and you're getting close to the end, now is the time to start putting on the steam and increasing your effort, because the affairs are based upon what it ends on. The most important thing is what you end on. And that's why it is said that something, I missed it right here. Aish katabta wa. La la, qabla hadha. Fi awal yuqalu aish? So the Shaykh went on to say, I didn't get that properly. The Shaykh went on to say, a proof of this concept of the Quran is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and do not die except as Muslims. So it is important how you live, but the most important thing is how you die and what you die upon. So the one who is sa'id, or the one who is happy, successful, he is the one who he ends his life with salam, with Islam, and he ends his life with what is accepted. Then he started to make dua, a nice dua, beautiful dua, in which he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq that all of us die upon what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he makes the happiest day that we ever see, the day when we meet each other in paradise, that he allows us to meet each other in paradise. And then he sent his salutations upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He wanted to give the Sheikh an opportunity after talking. He gives a talk translation. It's not easy for him, it's not easy for you. But in looking at his age and his position amongst us, we're all young, alhamdulillah, we make him handle some more. We wanted to ask him, did he want to take a rest so we could practice hadith? Take it easy. Some in the daytime, in the middle, at the end. But he said he has the ability to keep going. He's from the people of knowledge, and they know better who has the ability and who don't have the ability. So we're going to entertain the questions that the people have right now, inshallah ta'ala. It should have been that someone organized the questions. See, akhi, this is what I don't like right here. How everyone is sending the questions, I'm translating for the Sheikh. Who's going to sit there to take it upon himself to say, let me try to help out the program? Why it always got to be on the same two people, three people, four people? All of us are brothers and all of us have something to do. Al-Amin was taking the papers, alhamdulillah, he was helping. Even though it was small, he was doing something. So we got to wake up, Ikhwan. We got to wake up. But the Sheikh said, if you brothers need some rest, he'll give you a break.
عندما ذكرت أشير إلى رؤى الخوارج مع أصل الناس الحاضر يتهمون
العلماء لأنهم عملاء.
يسأل الآخر قال صبر يعني ما رأى نقص
بس take it easy.
كأنهم فهموا أن هناك بيت راح كأنهم فهموا
ذلك. لا
لأنني أرى يعني
أنا الآن Ikhwan, we have some very important, this is an important section right now, inshallah. In the last QSS conference, and I've had an opportunity to listen to four of the tapes already. I listened to two tapes of the Sheikh Abu al-Harith Ali Hassan al-Halabi. And I listened to the tape of the Sheikh Abu Usama Salim al-Hilali. And I listened to a tape of the Sheikh Abu Hatim Usama Al-Qusi. It seemed that in the last QSS conference, the Shiyukh were suraha in explaining questions. People's names came up and issues came up, and they were very clear in what they were saying. In light of that, a question has come, and the question was, since the Sheikh talked about in his discussion the Khawarij and those two men who talked to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a way that was unbefitting, the questioner wants to ask the Sheikh, what is his position concerning the dawah of the Sheikh Umar Abdul Rahman, who is from Egypt, and everyone knows him. Our Sheikh is from Egypt as well. What's important is, what is the reality of the dawah of Umar Abdul Rahman? Does he consider that to be from the Khawarij, or does he consider it something that we should support or nuda'im?
Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mtabi'udah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. أما بعد، فهذا السؤال مهم، لأني كما سمعتم أثناء الكلمة التي ألقيتها آنفا ذكرت أن أذناب الخوارج في عصرنا يتهمون ورثة الأنبياء بأنهم عملاء، وقد سألت شيخنا رحمه الله الشيخ عبد العزيز ابن عبد الله ابن باز رحمه الله تعالى عندما جمعني مجلس بواحد من هؤلاء المكفرين عند الشيخ في مكتبه في مكة في رمضان قبل الماضي، وكانت أول مرة أرى الشيخ رحمه الله، وهي أيضا آخر مرة رأيته فيها. فقلت له: شيخنا، كان في بلادنا قديما كان المكفرون هم جماعة التكفير والهجرة، أما اليوم فقلت له إن أناسا يركبون منابر جماعة أنصار السنة ويتكلمون باسم السنة وهم يكفرون الحكام في بلادنا. فقال لي: مثل، هو الذي قال الشيخ، مثل عمر بن عبد الرحمن، هذا من الخوارج. فحكم عليه الشيخ ابن باز رحمه الله بأنه من الخوارج، وهذا يكفي، ما يحتاج أن أحكم أنا ولا غيري. تم الجواب.
The Sheikh said, إخوان, after praising Allah Ta'ala and opening up, he said, this question about Umar Abdul Rahman is important. And as you brothers heard during my talk, I mentioned that these people from the Khawarij, they accuse the inheritors of the Anbiya, meaning the scholars, as being workers for the oppressors, the Umala of the Hukam. The people accuse the scholars, and the scholars are the inheritors of the Anbiya. They accuse these scholars of being the Umala. They work only for the rulers. Our Sheikh Abu Hatim, Jazahullahu Khairan, he said that he had asked the Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He asked him this question in a meeting that he had with him, not this past Ramadan, but the Ramadan before that. Not the one that just passed, the one that was before that. The Sheikh said, this was my first time that I had an opportunity to meet Sheikh Ibn Baz, and it was my last time that I met him as well. So I said to him, Sheikh, in our country, it used to be that the people who used to do this, they were called Jamatu At-Takfiri Wal-Hijra. It's what they used to be called. They were a group by themselves, well known. That's how it was in the past. But now we have people who get on the minbar of the Jamaat Ansar al-Sunnah. They are the people of the Sunnah in Egypt. And just for you brothers who don't know, like in QSS, the Sheikh Safwat Nuruddin, Allah Yahfadhu, people like that. Okay? They are the people of the Sunnah in Egypt. So the Sheikh said to Sheikh Ibn Baz, now we have people who get on the minbar of the Sunnah, the Ansar al-Sunnah, and they start making the takfir of the hukam on top of those members. So then when Sheikh Ibn Baz heard this, Sheikh Ibn Baz interjected and he said, like Umar Abdul Rahman? He said, yes. He said, that's from the Khawarij. He's from the Khawarij. So Sheikh Ibn Baz asked the Sheikh, like who? Umar Abdul Rahman? Yes. Well, he's from the Khawarij. So the Sheikh said, that's enough. It doesn't require me or anyone else now to come and say anything about Umar Abdul Rahman, because Sheikh Ibn Baz, who's a scholar, said he was from the Khawarij.
هنا في أسئلة موجودة. طيب تحصلها في الدور لأنه تطور يعني تصبوها يعني أنا أرى أوراق هنا ما حد يتفق إليها. أكثر من المصالح يمكن السؤال على ذلك ولا تتعلم.
The next question is, yes, Sheikh, there's a lot of talk that we should stay away from East Orange, New Jersey that you know about, and that we should not take the knowledge from Abu Muslima. It is said that this came from the ulama. Please shed some light, inshallah, wa jazakallahu khaira.
يقال هذه الأيام علينا نشترك في طنج من جلدي وأن لا نأخذ العلم من أبي مسلم. وقيل أن هذا الكلام نقل من قبل العلماء. ما توجيهك ورأيك في هذا الكلام؟ هل عندك نظرة وجهة النظر في هذا؟
حقيقة معرفتي بهؤلاء قليلة ولم أخالطهم إلا قليلا، ولكن علماؤنا المتخصصون في فن الجرح والتعديل فعلا حذروا من هذا، وأنا وأمثالي من طلبة العلم لا يمكن أبدا أن نقدم شيئا على قول علمائنا الكبار المتخصصين. وكما قلت في محاضرات مؤتمر جمعية القرآن والسنة هذا العام والذي كان بعنوان التصفية والتربيع، علينا أن نحترم التخصص، علينا أن نحترم التخصص. فكما أنه لا يصح للمشتغل رحمك الله للمشتغل بالنجارة أو بالكهرباء أن يتكلم في الطب، كذلك لا يصح للطبيب المتخرج حديثا وهو كما يسمونه ممارسا عاما يعرف جميع أنواع الطب معرفة عامة، لا يصح أن يقدم كلامه على الطبيب المتخصص في فرع من فروع الطب، ولا يصح أن يقدم كلام هذا المتخصص على الأستاذ الكبير في هذا الفرع. كل علم يسأل فيه أهله، يسأل فيه رجاله. فلذلك نقول إن شيخ ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله تعالى وهو إمام من أئمة علم الجرح والتعديل، بل كما قال الشيخ محمد ناصر الدين الألباني رحمه الله إن الشيخ ربيع المدخلي هو حامل راية الجرح والتعديل في هذه الأزمان. ولذلك لما تكلم بعض الناس في شيخنا شيخ ربيع سجلت 3 أشرطة بعنوان منار السبيل في الذب عن حامل لواء الجرح والتعديل، وهي طبعا باللغة العربية وهي ملحقة بدروس النصيحة رحمك الله لمن سأل عن السبيل الصحيحة، ولعلها إن شاء الله تصل إليكم في الأيام القادمة بإذن الله تعالى. وهنا عندي ملاحظة أن البعض قد يقول نحن نستفيد من كل أحد، ولا شك أن كلام أبي مسلمة وغيره فيه فوائد، فأقول
ليس كل أحد يستطيع أن يفرق. فطالب العلم المستبصر القوي في العلم لعله يستطيع أن يفرق بين ما هو صواب وبين ما هو خطأ، بين ما هو حق وبين ما هو باطل. أما أكثر الناس لا يستطيعون أن يميزوا، ولذلك نقول لهم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك، والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh, he went on to say, Ikhwan, in answering this question, first of all, in reality, my knowledge of them, the people in East Orange, my knowledge of them is a little, not very much. I have not mixed with them except a little bit. But our ulama, our scholars, who specialize in criticizing people, saying that people are good or bad, or the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil, our scholars have warned against them in reality. And people like us, the Sheikh is saying, people like us, students of knowledge, we do not put ourselves before those scholars who are specializing in things. And this is what we explain to the people at the QSS conference. So what we need to do is, we need to respect the people for their special abilities, the mutakhassis, for the takhassus. Someone specializes in something, we need to respect that. And to give you an example of that, it is not correct for a person who is a carpenter to begin to give his opinions about medicine, the science of medicine. And even the doctor who is a general practitioner, he has knowledge about general aspects of medicine. Even him, he's a doctor, it is not correct for him to put his opinion and his kalam before the opinion of a person who specializes in something. He has a general understanding of medicine, but there's a person who specializes in something. That general practitioner, it's not correct for him to put himself before the one who specializes in something. And that one, that doctor who is a specializer in something, is mutakhassas in something in medicine, even him, he shouldn't put his kalam and his opinion before the person who is bigger than him, the big professor in that specialized science that he is about. But what happens is, or what should happen is, everyone should ask the people who have the ability or the knowledge of that issue. Is that clear? Shall I say it again from the beginning? The Sheikh went on to say, from the people who are specializers in this issue is the Sheikh Rabi' ibn Hadi al-Madkhali rahimahullahu ta'ala wa abqahu Allahu ta'ala li intisar as-sunnah.
Ameen. Rahimana wa rahima.
Ameen. The Sheikh said that the Sheikh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani rahimahullah, he said about Sheikh Rabi' in establishing that he is a specialized person in the science of criticizing and saying who's good and who's bad. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah said about Sheikh Rabi' he is the holder of the flag. He is the main holder of the flag of the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil in these times. He is the main one who can do this. He is the one. The Sheikh went on to say, one time, there were some people who were criticizing Sheikh Rabi', who al-Albani, Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he said about Sheikh Rabi', he is the holder of the flag of the science of al-jarh wa ta'dil. There were some people who were criticizing Sheikh Rabi'. So what the Sheikh did was, he made some lessons in defense of Sheikh Rabi', and he called it Manar al-Sabil fi dhabb an hamil rayat al-jarh wa ta'dil, in which he defended Sheikh Rabi'. And these tapes are inside of the 80 tape series that the Sheikh has, that is called the Durus of the Nasiha for the one who asks about the way of a nasiha. And he said that he hopes that we can get those tapes, because the people have them in QSS, and some other brothers have them here, I heard them say, or some of them. So he said that there is a mulahava, or something that he has noticed, and something that he wants to bring to your attention, and that is, pay attention to this. It may be said by someone, hey, we want to benefit from everyone. Everyone has some good, we want to benefit from everyone. The Shaykh said, no doubt, everyone has some kalam, everyone who's teaching, they have some kalam that is beneficial. There is some kalam that is beneficial in what they say. But the problem is, everyone from the community doesn't have the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. The student of knowledge, the person who has some information, he has the ability to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. What is the haq and what is batin? What is the truth and what is falsehood? But the majority of the people, they don't have this ability to do so. So therefore, my advice is what? Leave alone what you doubt for that. Leave alone what you doubt for that which you don't doubt. The hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. هناك طلاب كثيرون ولله الحمد يدرسون في عدد من البلدان الإسلامية ولكن أغلبهم يعانون من تكاليف الدراسة والمعيشة في تلك البلاد ولهذا حبذا لو تفهموا إخواننا هنا في أمريكا بمساعدة هؤلاء الطلاب حتى ينتفعوا وينفعوا وحبذا لو تفضلتم بما بإسداء النصح لإخواننا حتى يدعموا إخوانهم الطلاب وجزاكم الله خير. The brother wrote the question and said there are okay. MashaAllah. Because I was getting ready to say, if one of us can write something like this, mashallah, someone needs to be teaching here. He said, there are certain students, there are a lot of students, walillah alhamd for that. They are studying in different Islamic countries. But the majority of them are suffering from the problems that come as a result of learning, like financial problems. They don't have the ability to study because there are demands, financial demands, buying books and living and paying for their expenses in those Islamic countries. So the person is saying, it would be nice if you were to help the brothers to understand here in America the importance of helping those students so that they can be benefited, so that they can benefit. And it would be nice also if you gave some nasiha to our brothers here so that they can increase or begin to support those brothers, those students over there. And may Allah reward you with good.
حقيقة إن هذا الأمر مهم جدا ولو لم يكن من فائدة في السفر إلى بلاد الإسلام إلا تعلم اللغة العربية لكفى بها فائدة. فقد رأيت إخوانا لكم ذهبوا إلى اليمن ومكثوا فيها فقط مدة 6 أشهر عادوا يتكلمون العربية، وهذه يعني كفى بها حقيقة ثمرة، أنك تعيش بين إخوانك المسلمين في البلاد العربية فتضطر لأن تتعلم العربية. لو بقيت هنا 10 سنوات لعلك لا تصل إلى هذه الثمرة. فإذا كان منكم من عنده استعداد للصبر والسفر، ومعروف أن المعيشة في بلاد العرب شديدة وقاسية وبخاصة في اليمن، ولعلي ذكرت لكم كثيرا هذا المثال لما يسألني بعض إخواني هل نسافر إلى اليمن، قل له جيد لكن هل تتحمل؟ فقلت له، كان أحد إخواننا من طلبة العلم عند الشيخ مقبل يتوضأ لصلاة الفجر فهو يغسل وجهه شعر بشيء في لحيته فأخرجه فإذا هو عقرب. فهذا مثال من الأمثلة وكذلك يعني أذكر ولدي حاتم كان عمره سنتين وفي الصباح قمنا ونرفع الوسادة فوجدنا عقربا كبيرا تحت الوسادة التي هو كان نائما عليها طوال الليل. فيعني لذلك الإنسان هناك لا ينسى أذكار الصباح والمساء، ما ينسى. كيف ينسى؟ كل يوم تحافظ على أذكار الصباح والمساء لأنك مهدد بخط. والحمد لله كفاني الله شره، سقط من السقف، يعني كان كاد أن يسقط في الكتاب فسقط من السقف في الأرض. فالشاهد أن الذي يسافر إلى تلك البلاد لا تنال الإمامة في الدين إلا بالصبر واليقين، هذا لا يمكن تعويض. التفرغ لطلب العلم لا يعني يقارن بشيء ولا يعوضه شيء. فمن كان منكم عنده قدرة على الصبر والتحمل وعنده استعداد أن يلبس نعلين من حديد كما قال عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما، فيجب على إخوانه في هذه البلاد أن يساعدوه، لأنه سيعود هذا النفع عليكم إن شاء الله عندما يرجع. طبعا المراكز الإسلامية والمساجد في بلادكم كثيرة وتشكو من النقص في طلبة العلم، ما أسهل أن يركب واحد المنبر ويتكلم أي كلام، لكن ما أصعب أن يتخرج طالب علم. هذا الذي نريده، طالب العلم يحتاج إلى دعم، يعني المتكلمون كثيرون أليس كذلك؟
بلى
بلى، كثير متكلم يصعد المنبر يخطب في أي شيء، لكن نحن نريد طلبة علم، نريد طلبة علم ليكونوا إن شاء الله علماء المستقبل. فتكوين طلبة العلم هذا عمل صالح، والذي لا يستطيع منكم أن يسافر بنفسه على الأقل يستطيع أن يساعد غيره بالمال، فلا بأس، هذه فكرة طيبة، دعم هؤلاء الطلبة. بعضهم يعود من هناك لا لشيء إلا لانتهاء النفقة التي معه فقط، ما يريد أن يعود، لكن انتهت النفقة إيش يعمل؟ يضطر يرجع يعمل هنا شهرين ثلاثة ثم يسافر مرة أخرى. وطبعا تعرفون تكاليف السفر هذا المعودة. فالأمر الإنفاق على طلبة العلم هو من الإنفاق في سبيل الله، هو من الجهاد في سبيل الله. الإنفاق على طلبة العلم الذين يجاهدون في سبيل الله هو من الإنفاق في سبيل الله. فهذا باب واسع من أبواب الخير ينبغي أن تتنافسوا فيه وتتعاونوا عليه. صاحب المال يعاون صاحب الجهد والصبر، يعاونه ويقف بجواره. ولتعلم بارك الله فيكم أن طالب العلم لا يمكن أن يحصل ولا أن يفيدكم وهو مشوش مشغول، نحن نحاول أن نريحه، قل له تفرغ، ما تشغل نفسك بشيء آخر. كان عبد الله بن المبارك رحمه الله تعالى يتجر لا لحاجته، كان مستغنيا لكن لينفق على طلبة العلم، يعني كان يشغل تجارة هو ما هو محتاج لهذه التجارة، عنده ما يكفيه، كان يتجر لينفق على طلبة العلم. ولذلك تخرج من تحت يد عبد الله بن مبارك علماء كبار، فرغهم، قال أنتم تفرغون لمصلحة الإسلام والمسلمين. مجرد أن يجد طالبا ذكيا عنده فهم هذا يفرغ، هذا الوعاء صالح لأن يكون في المستقبل مملوءا بالعلم. وفعلا كانت نظرته تصدق، ولذلك تخرج من تحت يد عبد الله المبارك تلاميذ نجباء فضلاء، فرغهم على حسابه الخاص. فهذا باب طيب. وأنا حقيقة أقول والله إن كثيرا من المسلمين بسبب جهلهم يضعون أموالهم عند أناس يحاربون الإسلام ويحاربون السنة بسبب ما يعرفون مساكين، يقولون لهم تبرعوا 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 تبرع بآلاف وبملايين، وهم يدري أن هؤلاء الذين يتبرع لهم يحاربون السنة ويحاربون الدعوة المباركة إلى الكتاب والسنة وعلى ما كان عليه سلف الأمة. يوجهون هذه الأموال لحرب الإسلام ولحرب السنة. فإذا مثل هذا التاجر الثري يحتاج فقط إلى من يبصره، يعني لا يلزم من كلامي لكم أنكم أنتم الذين تتبرعون، لكن أنت لعله هناك رجل تاجر ثري، رجل أعمال ما يعرف أين يضع ماله، يريد أن يتبرع ولكن ما يدري أين يضع المال، فبدلا من أن يضعه في مكان في سبيل الله يضعه في مكان في سبيل الشيطان. فأنت يمكن أن توجهه وأن ترشده والدال على الخير كفاعله. بارك الله فيك.
تفضل.
وعليكم السلام. الذي يريد أن يخرج يخرج، لا يحتاج إلى أن يستأذن، يخرج ما ولا شيء، ما يحتاج. بارك الله فيكم. يعني تحرجون في هذا.
Whoever wants to leave, he can leave. No problem. You can leave, and don't worry about it. You can leave. The Sheikh said concerning this issue, this is a very, very important question. And as you can see, the Sheikh was what they call mumfa'il. He was with the answer, because he's going to give you some examples that he suffered from this type of thing. And being a teacher himself, he's seen it with his own students. So he said this is a very, very important question. He said that if a person was to travel to one of the Arab countries from amongst us, and he went to that Arab country and he did nothing else except learn the Arabic language, that alone is and was enough for him to have gone and accomplished. He said, I've seen with my own eyes some of our brothers, your brothers from here, who went to Yemen, and they were there for 6 months, and then they returned back speaking Arabic language in a 6 month period. He said, this is clearly a tremendous ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He went on to say that I've seen these people and I've spoken to these people. And you need to know, those people were thinking about this, that if you were to sit here in America and try to learn Arabic, it's possible that you will never ever learn because you're here. Whereas if you went over there, you started mixing with the Arab, your brothers over there, and you were forced because of your circumstances and condition, you will learn the language. But you have to know that life in the Arab world is very, very difficult. People always ask me, yeah, Sheikh, what's your opinion? Should I go to Yemen in order to study? He said, going to Yemen is good, but do you have patience to deal with Yemen? He said, I remember one of the brothers from your brothers who was from here. One day he was with Sheikh Muqbil in the camp studying when he was there. And that brother from here stood up to make the wudu. He's from our brothers. And he's not from here. He stood up in order to make the wudu. While he was making wudu, he felt something was in his lihya, in his beard. So this thing, while he was making wudu, he felt in his beard, he pulled it out. Lo and behold, it was a scorpion in his beard. He said, look, even when I was over there, my son, and I just want you brothers to know that in my meeting with the Sheikh today, his son, his name is Hatim. So he's Abu Hatim. He allowed his son, I helped his son to memorize the Quran when he was 14 years old. Now he's 18. So he leads the people in the Salat there, in the Masjid, and the Sheikh prays behind his boy. And he told me that was from the greatest ni'mas that Allah bestowed upon him, to stand before it, behind his son. And he has a daughter after that who also memorized the Quran. She's 16. The Sheikh said that his boy Hatim, when he was 2 years old, 16 years ago, Hatim was sleeping, and when they picked him up, they noticed that there was a scorpion under the boy. He slept on top of the scorpion. The scorpion was his pillow. All night long, the boy slept on top of the scorpion. So, from the benefits is that when the people over there, because they are exposed to these types of dangers, he never ever forgets the dua of the night and the day, because he needs to protect himself, and it means something to him, so he takes it seriously. He said he himself, while he was there, he was sitting there reading from a book, and he was sitting there, and as he was reading, he heard something fall, and it sounded like it was a rope that fell. He said when he moved the book, he noticed that a snake fell from the ceiling right by him. He He said the snake almost fell right in the book itself. So the point here is, it is difficult, so you have to be ready. And you remember the statement, no one will get the imamah within the imamah in the deen, except that you have to have patience and you have to have yaqeen. If you want to be an imam, if you want to make yourself something in this religion, then it necessitates, it requires that you have some sabr and you have some yaqeen. He said, and that's why Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was, we said before, whoever wants to learn about the religion and go out in the search of knowledge, then let him wear two shoes made out of iron. So therefore, ikhwan, it is obligatory upon us. It is a must that we help the brothers who are in that situation. And he said, it is so easy for a person to get up on the minbar and to say any kalam. Just talk, whatever come out of his head, he just say it, doesn't make a difference. But it is so difficult to allow someone to get up on the minbar and he talks about the kalam that is beneficial, the kalam that has proofs, the kalam that is from what is right. He went on to say, so therefore, us building or helping to build students of knowledge, this is from the good actions, the actions that are righteous. If you yourself can't go, for whatever reason there's something preventing you from going, then help those people by spending your money. Because what happens is, those brothers are over there and they're studying with the little money that they have, and then when their money runs out, they have to come back. And then coming back is a problem too, because they need money to come back. Coming back, going forth, coming back, going forth, it all requires money. So therefore I want you to understand that when you spend on people like this, people who are studying knowledge, they are making jihad, those people who are students in knowledge in those countries, when you take and you spend and you make the infaq on those people, you are making the infaq for the jihad in this religion. And this door, this issue, this topic, the doors of it are very, very expansive and very, very, very wide. So therefore, ikhwan, we need to raise each other in this issue. We need to raise each other in order to build a student of knowledge. Because I'm telling you that a person will not acquire knowledge if he has problems. If he's faced with problems. The Sheikh went on to say, and that's why the scholar Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to work himself. He wasn't in need of working, he had money. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, he had money. But he used to work in order to spend on the students of knowledge. He himself would work in order to spend on the students of knowledge. And as a result of that, there are many, many, many major ulama of the past who became scholars at the hands of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, rahimahullah ta'ala. The Sheikh went on to say, what did he used to do? If he noticed from amongst the students there was someone who was intelligent and he had a sharp mind, he would take them and he would make them people who didn't have to work. He would give them the tafriq. They would just be free just to study while Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak spent on them for all of their needs. And again, as I said to you, many people became scholars as a result of him. And he went on and he swore by Allah and he said, wallahi, many of the Muslims today, they put their monies in places and with people who are against Islam, and they fight against the Sunnah, and they fight against this blessed Dawah. When they are asked to contribute and to donate, they give their monies and they don't know who they're giving their monies to. And they wind up giving their monies to people who fight the Dawah, people who are against the Dawah and they're against the Sunnah. It is our job and it's our responsibility. People are like that who we know of here, that we go to those people. People have money. People are giving their monies to these different people. And we give them knowledge about the reality of what they're doing, so that they can put their monies in the proper places. And if you were to do that, you will be rewarded, because of the hadith in which the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the one who guides to the good is like the one who actually does the good.
أزيد الأمر وضوحا مثال صغير جدا
شيخنا شيخ مقبل حفظه الله بسبب جمعه لطلبة العلم وتعليمهم بفضل الله يعني ينفق هناك على طلبة العلم شهريا ينفق 30,000 دولار كل شهر على طلبة العلم الطعام فقط، لأن عدد الطلبة الثابت حوالي 1,000 طالب أو يزيد، فيكون نصيب الطالب لو حسبتها حوالي 20 إلى 30 دولار في الشهر، معه أسرة معه زوجة وأولاد، 20 دولار في الشهر فقط، إلى يعني إذا زاد 30 ما يصل 30. فطبعا طلبة يعيشون كفافا، يعني قد يأكل طوال الشهر أرز فقط، ما في لحم ما في دجاج ما في شيء، يضع الأرز في الماء على النار خلاص، هذا هو الطعام، ما في طعام ثاني، لا يوجد عصير، لا يوجد دونت ما شاء الله، لا يوجد كنتاكي فرايد تشيكن، لا يوجد شيء من هذا، أرز فقط. صبر 30,000 دولار كل شهر، فتصور معي عظم الأمر. وهذا الآن في اليمن يوجد مراكز كثيرة على نفس النحو، عند أخينا أبي الحسن، عند أخينا محمد الإمام، عند أخينا محمد بن عبد الوهاب في الحديدة، حوالي 8 أو 9 مراكز منتشرة في أنحاء، يعني كل مركز فيه 500 طالب 1,000 طالب 500 طالب 1,000 طالب. حقيقة أنا لا أعلم للمراكز اليمنية العلمية مثيلا في العالم اليوم، لا أعرف لها مثيلا، اللهم إلا إن كان عند شيخنا الشيخ محمد ابن صالح العثيمين حفظه الله في عنيزة في القصيم، لكن الشيخ يشترط أن يكون الطالب عنده إقامة في المملكة العربية السعودية، فلهذا يصعب على كثير من الناس أن يذهب عند الشيخ ابن عثيمين حفظه الله، فهذا من باب يعني الإرشاد إلى الخير، سواء كان بالذهاب للتعلم أو بمساعدة الطلبة على السفر إلى تلك المراكز، والله المستعان.
فيكم بارك يا شيخ، إذا استطعت أن تزيد في هذا وضوح، الآن رغبتهم في الإنفاق، معظمهم لن يمشي، ربما واحد منهم يريد أن ينفق زكاته السنوي على هؤلاء هناك،
جيد.
هل ترى هو أفضل إرسالها هناك أو أن ينفق على الفقراء
والمساكين؟ لا شك أن فقراءكم أغنى من بعض الأغنياء في تلك البلاد، ولكن يعني على كل حال الصدقات زكاة المال لها نفقات، يعني الفقير هنا فقير نسبيا إذا ما قورنا بغيره، يعني ليس فقيرا مطلقا، إنما بالنسبة إلى مستوى المعيشة هنا. لكن على كل حال حتى لو فرضنا جدلا أن السائل يسأل هل إنفاق المال على الفقراء والمساكين أو لا، أو إنفاق المال على طلبة العلم الذين يعدون ليكونوا علماء أو لا، لا شك طبعا أن الجهاد أولى بالإنفاق، وبخاصة إذا تعين. فنحن الآن نعاني من نقص عظيم في أهل العلم وفي طلبة العلم، ولا بد من ملء هذا الفراغ وتعويض هذا النقص. فهذا الطالب الذي سافر وهو جاد وصابر تعين علينا أن نساعده، في أمان الله عليه وسلم. فالآن الذي أرى، لا أقول نرسل هناك، لا أقول وعليكم السلام، أنتم كيف توصلون المال إلى طبعا أهلكم، يعني الحديث وأن يعني قال نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، فإذا هم الحديث حديث معاذ رضي الله عنه، إنك تقدم على قوم أهل الكتاب فادعوهم أول ما تدعوهم إليه لأن يعبدوا الله ولا يشركوا بشيئا، فإذا هم أقروا بذلك فأخبرهم أن الله افترض عليهم 5 صلوات كل يوم وليلة، فإن هم أقروا بذلك فأعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم. يعني فطلابكم هنا الذين يسافرون من هذه البلاد هم أولى الناس بالصدقة التي تخرج من هذه البلاد، يعني تخرج منكم من أغنيائكم إلى طلابكم المحتاجين إلى الإعانة والمساعدة. فالأصل في الزكاة أنها تنفق في أهل البلد الذين خرجت منهم الزكاة، تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم. نعم هذا هو الأصل، ولذلك لا تنقل الزكاة إلا إذا كانت البلاد ما فيها محتاج، يعني البلد ما فيها محتاجون يعني خلاص ننقلها لبلد آخر لا بأس، لكن إذا كانت البلد فيها محتاج هو أولى بزكاة أهل بلده. أما كيف توصلونها إليهم هذه مسألة إدارية، يمكن أنتم يعني تنظروا أفضل الوسائل في توصيل هذا إليهم، إما بأن يعني توصلوا هذا إليهم هناك تعطوهم هنا، تصرفون أنتم، تختارون الطلب الأذكياء النبهاء لهذه المهمة، لأنه ليس كل أحد حقيقة يتأهل لمثل هذه المهمة، ممكن الإنسان يذهب وهو غير مؤهل لهذه المهمة ما يستفيد شيئا، ممكن وارد، فيعني لا بد أن يختار النبهاء الأذكياء الذين عندهم قدرة على التحصيل، وبخاصة في السن الذي يسبق الزواج، الإنسان قبل الزواج يكون فارغ الذهن يعني يكون عنده قدرة، هذا السن لا يعوض، بعد الزواج يعني الأمر يختلف تماما، فالأيام التي هي سابقة على الزواج هذه لا تعوض مرة أخرى، لا تستطيع أن تجد مثلها في حياتك، لأنك تنشغل بالزوجة بالأولاد والمسؤوليات. فهؤلاء الشباب أولى الناس بأن يعاونوا ساعدوا، وجزاكم الله خيرا على هذا السؤال حقيقة، ثم على الاستفسارات التي أنتم استفسرتم بها مما يدل على الجدية في هذا الباب. وأبشركم بأن معظم الطلبة الذين هم في مصر وفي اليمن وفي السعودية هم من هذه المدينة، معظمهم من فيلادلفيا، معظمهم ما شاء الله فيه اهتمام فيه جد فيه، فهذا يبشر بخير، ولا شك أن هذا الخير سيعود عليكم بإذن الله تعالى. بارك الله فيكم.
The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwani, that the Sheikh Muqbil, as a result of all of those students of knowledge that are with him, I want to share this with you so that you can understand and you can conceptualize the seriousness of the issue in terms of what it takes to study overseas and what's going on. He said every single month, monthly, in Sheikh Muqbil's camp, they get $30,000 a month, and that's only for the food at $30,000. $30,000. So every, at any given time, the number of students in his camp, it goes up and it goes down, but usually it hovers around 1,000 students. That's what's thabit. That's what's usually taking place. May go up, may go down, but it's around that number. So that means that each student gets about $30 a month to live off of. Him, his wife, his children. And sometimes it's $20, but it never goes beyond $30 a month. So those people, they live kafafin. That means they live just with just the bare minimums. What is enough? Sometimes, and this is the normal, they'll go a whole month and all they eat is rice. They put the rice in the pot and they boil it, and then they eat the rice and that's all they have. They don't have any chicken. They don't have any meat. They don't drink any juice with it. Any juice. They don't have any donuts with it. They don't have any Kentucky Fried Chicken. He says, so therefore, Ikhwan, the situation is in need of some sabr. So just imagine with me for a minute, just imagine with me, that this is not only the case with Sheikh Muqbil. This is Sheikh Muqbil, $30,000 a month, the students are $1,000, $30 per student, rice, no meat, no dujaj, no juice, no chicken, no donuts. This is also the case with the Sheikh in Yemen, Abu al-Hassan, and the Sheikh Muhammad Iman. Muhammad Imam and the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, who's in Hudaybah. All of them,
Al-Hudaydah,
all of them have the same type of camp and the same kind of hookup. He said, I don't know any centers, educational centers, like the educational centers in Al-Yemen. I don't know any centers like this in all of the world, with the exception of the place in Uneiza, to Sheikh Muhammad ibn Saleh Al-Uthaymeen, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. See, the student, he can study with Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, but the Sheikh makes a condition. If you want to study there, you can study, but you have to have the legal papers to be a resident. You have to have an iqama. And sometimes that's difficult for the majority of the students of knowledge. So, ikhwan, the going over there to study or to help, or helping the students over there to study, both of those are from the good deeds. Then the question was posed, since you are giving this nice encouragement to the brothers, Sheikh, a person may now have the desire to take his zakat money, the zakat, not the sadaqah on Friday. He may take his money, whatever money, and he want to send it over there to the students, as opposed to spending the money on the poor people here, the zakat, or whatever money here on the poor people. What do you think is the best thing? To send the money over there, or to spend the money here? The Sheikh, he went on to say, first of all, the poor people here are rich in other places. The poor people here are richer than the rich people there. They have a lot of money in comparison to people who have money there. He said, but if we were to just say, for the sake of arguing, a person is really poor, usually he's only poor in relationship to the people here. He's poor in relationship to the other people here. But over there, he's not considered to be poor. In any event, ikhwan, what deserves to be given support to first is al-jihad. And those people over there are in jihad. So you giving your money for the people of jihad, especially if the jihad that's being made, the person is what they have called the ta'yin. This is a jihad that has to be done. He has to make this jihad. So what he is saying is, right now in the Muslim world, we suffer from a lack of scholars, a lack of people who know the deen. So therefore we are in need to change this condition. So it becomes obligatory on us to go and study, change the condition. So that jihad that they're doing is the jihad that is ta'yin. Gotta do it. So when you give them the money, they deserve it more than anyone else. The Sheikh went on to say in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet was sending him to Yemen, and he told Mu'adh, verily you are going, Mu'adh, to a people from the book. So make the first thing that you call them to the Tawheed, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If they obey you in that, then tell them that Allah Ta'ala has made obligatory upon them 5 prayers to be done in the day and the night. And if they obey you in that, then take their money, the zakat. Take it from the rich ones from amongst them and give it to the poor ones from amongst them. So the Sheikh said, what? Those brothers who are over there from amongst us, they got more right than anybody, because they're making jihad and all of that. We got to change the condition. They got more right than anyone that we take our zakat money, we take our money and we send it to them. They got more right than anyone else because of what they're doing. He said, because the origin of a zakat is that you don't take the zakat from here and you give it to another place, another locale. You only take the zakat and give it to another locale if there's no one here to receive it. But if there are people to receive, you have to give it to the people. He says, so, ikhwan, I say that you should give the zakat to those people. And as for how they're going to get the money, the best way to get the money, that's up to you people to decide. What's the best way? You can give it to someone to give to them. That's something that goes back to the management. That's a managerial decision. But I will say this. You should give the money to the nubaha. Those people who are intelligent, the people who are adhkiya. They are smart, the good students, the serious ones. Because not everyone is over there doing the right thing. Not everyone over there deserves to get helped. He said, and I also encourage you, to give the money to the people who are not married so that we can support them even more. That doesn't exclude the people who are married, but he's giving us encouragement to give it to the people who are not married yet, because ikhwan, the people who are studying and they're not married, it's not the same as when you study and you get married, because when you're not married, things are easier for you. I have less to think about, less problems. So I give you glad tidings, I give you glad tidings, you brothers here, that the majority of the people that I've seen in Yemen and in Egypt, they are from your brothers right here, from Philadelphia. So Sheikh was basically praising the brothers here about that issue.
من المضحكات المبكيات التي تبين لكم الفراغ الموجود في هذه البلاد. يوجد مسجد في مدينة من المدن الأمريكية كبير جدا يسع آلاف المصلين. الذي يركب المنبر إمام المسجد هذا صعد المنبر في هذا الذي يسمونه عيد الشكر، وإذا به يقول خطبة الجمعة اليوم هي عن الديك الرومي.
سبحان الله،
ما وجد شيئا يقوله إلا الديك. أخذ يقول الديك الرومي يدعى في مصر كذا ويدعى في البلاد الفلانية كذا، اسمه عمل يعني ترجمة للديك الرومي، أخذ يترجم للديك الرومي، وأنه يسمى في البلاد الفلانية كذا، وأصله كذا، وفرعه كذا، ولونه كذا، والناس ينتظرون أنه يقول يعني ما تحتفلون بهذه المناسبة، وانتهت خطبة الجمعة في تعريف الديك الرومي ونسي. فهذا مثال يبين لكم الجهل الذي وصل إليه بعض الناس في مساجد كبيرة تسع آلاف المصلين، جاهل. أين طلبة العلم؟ طلبة العلم غرباء وقلة. فهذا يبين لكم عظم المأساة وعظم المصيبة التي وصل إليها المسلمون في هذه البلاد، والله المستعان.
Okay, إخواني, the Sheikh, he wants to explain to you something that makes you cry and it makes you laugh all at the same time concerning the condition of the people here in America as it relates to their ignorance of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said in one of the states, in the place here in America, there's a big, big masjid that you have 1,000 people at least praying in the masjid, over 1,000 people. The imam of that masjid, he got on the minbar Thanksgiving, during the Thanksgiving time, around that time. He got on the minbar and he said to the people, today the khutbah's topic is going to be about the turkey. So he started telling the people about the turkey, where the turkey came from, how the turkey was put in Egypt, how the turkey wound up in this country, the different colors of turkeys, everything you needed to know about a turkey. He started giving this as a khutbah. The Sheikh said that the people were sitting there waiting for the man to get to the part where he said, now celebrating Thanksgiving is haram. They were waiting, thinking he was leading up to this. And he never ever came to it. All it was a lesson about the history of the turkey. So, some of you look amazed like you're about to cry and some are laughing. So the Sheikh's kalam is right. So he said, this goes to show us, ikhwan, the need that we have for students of knowledge, people who know this religion. And it shows the izmah, the seriousness of the problem that we're dealing with, not having qualified instructors and teachers to teach us this religion.
ليس من أجلي، أما أنا عندي استعداد أدخل الفجر، يعني أنا يعني نفسي من أجل إخواني ما يملون.
Okay, inshallah we're gonna finish, but we just want to ask the Sheikh this last question as it relates to our condition here. We want to ask the Sheikh about some advice because he has a lot of experience in tajriba. He was in Yemen, and the brothers who go to Yemen, they know the environment. It's an environment of education and knowledge, like those past, you know, like Timbuktu and places like that. We want to know from the Sheikh, what can we do here? What can we do here what would he advise us to do in order to create an environment where people are serious about learning the Quran and learning the Sunnah and practicing the Quran and the Sunnah, so that Allah Ta'ala can give us the Nasr, and so that we can inshallah be from the Anwar that the Dawah to Salafiyah spreads out for. From, we want to ask the Shaykh, and nasihatihi inshallah Ta'ala, and al-masail al-lati yumkinuna an naqumu biha hatta tanbathaku من هذه الجدر تعاليم السنة وهذه الدعوة المباركة حتى نهيئ الجو يأتي علينا القادم فيرى عند هؤلاء الإخوان أن أمرهم يماثل أو قد يكاد يماثل ما نجده في اليمن وغيرها من البلدان. أريد أن
أختم بنصيحة ثم آخر سؤال
يعني حقيقة ما يحضرني في هذا المقام من نصح هو تقريبا نفس الكلمات التي كانت تدور بيني وبين أخينا الفاضل أبي أسامة الذهبي حفظه الله وبارك فيه وسدد خطاه ونفعه ونفع به.
آمين.
فمن المطار إلى الفندق كانت بيني وبينه كلمات، وهو أن الناس في كل أنحاء الدنيا يفتقدون القدوة ويفتقدون الأسوة، ونحن إذا مثلنا هذه الدعوة دعوة السلفية المباركة لابد كما يقول شيخنا أبو عبد الرحمن مقبل بن هادي الوادعي لابد أن يصدق الاسم على المسمى، ويردد عن نفسه كثيرا يقول نرجو والله، بل يقول نخشى ألا يصدق الاسم على المسمى. فالإسلام حق ونحن ننتسب إلى الإسلام، ولكن نخشى ألا يصدق الاسم على المسمى. والسنة حق وأيضا نخشى ألا يصدق الاسم على المسمى. والسلفية حق ولكن نخشى أيضا أن لا يصدق الاسم على المسمى. فالناس من حولنا كفارهم ومسلمهم يحتاجون إلى أن يروا المثل الطيبة، الأخلاق الحميدة التي تدل على صدق الاسم على المسمى. صدق الله إذ يقول ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. إذن هو دعا وعمل، لم يدعو فقط، دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا. الدعوة إلى الله بالقول والعمل، بل الدعوة إلى الله بالعمل أبلغ من الدعوة إلى الله بالقول. الناس يحتاجون إلى القدوة، يريدون أن يروا الأخلاق الطيبة، أخلاق الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، عقيدة الصحابة ومنهج الصحابة، أخلاق الصحابة وفضائل الصحابة. أنا وزوجتي وأولادي ينبغي أن نكون مثلا طيبا، لا كما يقول بعض أهل العلم عن هؤلاء الذين يقولون ما لا يفعلون، يقولون هؤلاء كأنهم يدعون إلى الجنة بأقوالهم وهم يدعون إلى النار بأعمالهم. فنصيحتي لنفسي ولكم أن نكون مثلا طيبة. الناس يفتقدون الأسوة، ما أكثر المتكلمين وما أقل العاملين المخلصين. فكونوا قدوة طيبة، نريد منكم أن يرى الناس الذين يعيشون حولكم الإسلام الحقيقي، السنة الحقيقية، أخلاق السلف الصالح الحقيقية. والله إن امرأة من الكفار عندما ترى ولدها المسلم يبرها ويحسن إليها ويقابل إساءتها بالإحسان، والله إن هذا لا يهزها من الداخل حتى تفكر أن هذا الدين حق
يقول هذا الدين الذي غير هذا الولد في يوم من الأيام كان يشتمني، وفي يوم من الأيام كان ينهرني، ما الذي غيره؟ ما الذي جعله مهذبا؟ أنا أسيء إليه ويحسن إلي، أنا أهاجمه في دينه وهو يقول يا أمي أنا أريد بك الخير، أنا أحب لك النجاة. نريد هذه المثل الطيبة التي تهز الناس من الداخل، تجعلهم يعرفون عظمة هذا الدين، ذلك الدين القيم، ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم.
فنختم بهذا الكلام إن شاء الله. The Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, concerning this advice, the only thing that I want to say right now concerning how to create this atmosphere here is the same discussion that he had with me when we were coming from the airport going to the hotel. And in actuality, what was said in the car at that time was more than this and more beneficial, but we didn't have a tape recorder. He said, in summarizing what was said, that the people are in need of a qudwa and a uswa, an example in front of them. We need to translate this dawah and what we're about and what we believe, we need to translate it into our action. And that's why the Sheikh, our Sheikh Abu Abdurrahman, Sheikh Muqbil, may Allah Ta'ala preserve him, he used to say that the name should truly describe what it is. The name should truly describe what is being placed on. The name itself should give a good picture and depict what it is being placed on. So he used to say about his own self, the Sheikh used to say, I hope from Allah, I hope from Allah, and I am afraid that maybe the name that I'm being called, it doesn't really, it's not on the depict what's being said. So Al-Islam is the truth, but does what the name Islam, what we're doing, depict Islam? The Sunnah is the truth, but what we're doing, how we're behaving, does it depict the Sunnah? As-Salafi is the truth, no doubt, but our behavior and how we are, does it depict As-Salafi? So the name and what the name is being placed upon, we hope that the name and what it's placed upon is true. He said, look, the people who are around us, from the kuffar and the Muslims, they are in need of examples from us showing them examples. We want our call to spread and to be effective. Have you not heard the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who is better than the one who calls to Allah?
Wa alaykum
salam. And who is better than the one who calls to Allah? He gives da'wah and then he does the righteous actions and he says, verily I am from the Muslims. So you see, he is an example. He is calling and he is practicing what he's calling. Not calling only and no application and no practice. Sheikh went on to say that the da'wah that a person gives that comes as a result of his actions, that da'wah makes a bigger impact and has a bigger effect, and it is stronger than the da'wah that he makes with his statement. So look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at their companion as an example, from their aqidah, from their akhlaq, from the way that they were. So therefore I and my children and my wife, all of us have to be examples for the people who are around us. We say what we do. And don't be like those people who some of the ulama said about them. Don't be like those people. Who are they? Those people who the ulama said about them, they call to the paradise with their statements. Their statements are beautiful and they're calling to the paradise. But they're calling to the hellfire by their actions. Don't be like those people. But be of the people who do the action. We see the people who are around us and they see us. Those people need to see in us and view in us of Islam and the akhlaq of al-Islam. Look at the non-Muslim woman, the woman who was a kafira and her son is a Muslim, and her son, look at this, her son is respecting her, honoring her, treating her right. She's bad to him and yet he does good to her and for her. This behavior, whether she likes it or not, it shakes her from within and it shakes the inner recesses of her soul. She says, this is my boy. This is my boy. He used to be disobedient. He used to be a bad person. He used to disrespect me. He used to do all kinds of things. Now look how he has changed. Clearly what has changed him is something that's special in the religion. So the sheikh said that the boy is saying to his mother, and he says to his mother, Ya Ummi, I want for you good. I want you to be guided. I want you to be of the people who receive good. And this is why Allah Ta'ala said, and that is the true religion. But the majority of the people, they don't know. That is the true religion. But the majority of the people, they don't know. So we really...